about 5 years ago, I sat in my bakkie one day while my workers, my laborers were unloading bales, and I was just again so frustrated with myself, with not being able to walk and to live the way that I thought God expects me to live. And I actually said to the Lord that day, Lord, I'm over myself. I'm not making it. I know you're my Lord and my Savior, but I am not making it. I understood that I came to know Jesus on that particular day, August, when I was 29, and that all my sins had been forgiven, and that from now on, I had to live a godly life out from a point of gratefulness for God, what God has done for me. That is part of what we do. But that was what I was trying. And I thought that the Holy Spirit was in me. Definitely I believed that. But that He was supposed to cause me to be obedient. And I couldn't understand, why am I struggling so much? Because the Holy Spirit's supposed to help me. He's my helper. And to be quite honest, we sang so many songs tonight about being free, being set free. I wasn't free at all. You know, I can read you many scriptures. Galatians 5. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Galatians 5:13. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. By the way, to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I was not free. I was really struggling to live the Christian life. And I want to tell you tonight, there's two very important things that you need to understand. The one is, you need to understand, if you're a reborn child of God, you need to understand how God feels about you. And how He sees you. Otherwise, you will live in condemnation and guilt for the rest of your Christian walk. And the second thing is, the word says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. I want to say that to you again. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Jesus is not saying He's not saying other sheep. And He's not saying my sheep must hear my voice and they must follow me. Jesus' words is, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. That's a given. My sheep. Know my voice. And they follow me. He's not threatening us. He's saying it as a fact. My sheep, they know my voice. And they follow me. So I didn't know His voice. I sometimes read scripture and I thought, I think this is God is speaking to me now. And yes, God does speak through scripture. But, you know, if you have a father, who would have a father that loves his child And then speak to him every now and again. Or would whisper to him, you're not sure if you're hearing God. Does that sound like a father, a loving father? I want to tell you today, God speaks all the time. All the time. We do hear his voice. So, if you don't understand those two things, then you will never be able to say and believe the word that says, God rejoices over you. I want to tell you tonight, God does rejoice over you. If you are a child of God, like we have sung here tonight, I can assure you, I'm going to show you in the word tonight, God rejoices over you. Acts 13:38 says, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Everything which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. So let's see, what does that say? If we look at Hebrews 8, it says, because finding fault with him, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel over the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they didn't continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. The Amplified says, for they did not abide in my covenant, and so I withdrew my favor and disregarded them, says the Lord. The Afrikaans Bible says, ek het hulle veronagsaam. So what is the problem with the old covenant? What was the problem here? What was the problem of the Israelites? It was a problem of dedication. They weren't dedicated. Of faithfulness. They weren't faithful enough. And that sounds to me exactly like the problem I used to have. I was saved and I was a child of God, but I had a problem with dedication and with faithfulness. I knew that. I was not 100% faithful. I was committed, but when I failed, I would feel I'm really not living up to my salvation. Because I thought I had to live up to my salvation. We actually have to, but I couldn't. In other words, in Afrikaans, ek dink ek moet uit dankbaarheid altyd reg optree. And that, in the end, I will go to heaven because of that. I'm a child of God, so I can go to heaven. But since I've become a child of God, and the day I go to heaven, it's quite a struggle. It was quite a struggle for me to stay on the road. It was a struggle. But now God says here, we've just read it, because it says, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they didn't continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. He says, I'm going to make a new covenant now. So I'm going to read to you tonight, Hebrews 10. It's quite a few verses, but I want you to listen carefully to Hebrews 10 from the first verse. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. This is the New Living Translation. Not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshippers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why, when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the scriptures.'" First, Christ said, "You didn't want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I've come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all time. Holy, once for all time. Under the Old Covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and living, life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let's go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let's hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted. God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let's think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let's not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Therefore, Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh couldn't do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what has happened? Let's start at the beginning. Adam had a relationship with God. Free relationship. Walking in the garden. Free talking to God. Beautiful relationship. And then Adam had a choice. We know. Because love is not forced upon us. That's not true love. We always have a choice. And Adam chose. Let's not debate about the tree and the fruit. But Adam chose not to do God's will. He chose to listen to the devil, who said, if you eat of that tree, you will know as much as God knows. So that he chose to do that. And then sin came into the world. So what happened was, the original value of Adam, his created value. Listen, God has many angels he could have asked to do many things, to order around. But God wanted relationship. That was the value of Adam. So Adam's created value was gone. It was damaged. So that's where the problem of sin started. And then what happened at the cross? Jesus didn't die on the cross because we were sinners. Jesus had to die because you and I sinned to get our created value back. Do you understand that? I'm going to say it again. Jesus did not die on the cross because we were sinners. He had to die because we sinned. So he died to save that which was lost. What was lost? Our created value. So he didn't only die for us to go to heaven. Jesus died so that you and I can get our created value back, which is a loving, full relationship with God. And that was my problem personally. I thought Jesus died for my sins, and now I can go to heaven. But the part about the fact that I'm now a child of God, that God sees me without sin, that He sees me holy, like I've just read. That is what has happened the day I understood and I accepted Jesus. And I gave my life to Jesus. That is what happened on that day. My created and your created value was restored that day. Which means you were immediately put into a relationship with Father God. I've heard the story about a king that was during the Second World War in Germany. There was a king who the Kasteel binnengeval. And they actually abducted his child, who was still young, it was a baby. And they took him away, and eventually he ended up on a ship, and they took him to It ended up in London in the harbor. And authorities found out there was a baby on the ship, and they took the baby and they took it to an orphanage. And this child grew up in the orphanage. And years later, when the war was over, this king sent soldiers and whoever out to go and find his son. And eventually, after months, they found this son in the orphanage. They did DNA tests and everything, and they saw this was that king's son. And they took him, by that age he was like 12 years old. And they took him back to the father. Or he was, whatever, 8 years old. They took him back to the father. And this child grew up in an orphanage. And he was an orphan. So when he arrived back at the palace, he behaved like an orphan. He was, you know, when it was time to have dinner, he would overeat himself. And he would stuff extra stuff in his pockets because he wasn't sure that there was going to be food again in the morning. In the morning there was beautiful breakfast. And he would actually sneak some more food because he didn't know when he was going to get fed again. And then the father said to him, my son, wait. Come here, let me show you. Here, we have breakfast. 11 o'clock, we have cookies and tea. Lunchtime, we have a beautiful lunch. And then 3 o'clock, we have tea and biscuits again. And then we have a lovely dinner. And then 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock before you go to bed, there's more cookies and milk. Like, come, let me show you. Let me show you what belongs to you. And opening up the, what do you call this? Yeah, the skatkiste. He opened it up and he said, look here, the chest. He said, this is what belongs to you. You are now my son. Stop behaving like an orphan. You don't need to. I'm going to provide for you every meal. And let me take you, come on the carriage. Let me take you through the land and let me show you, my son, what belongs to you. You now, you know what? You're a son of the king. You don't need to behave like an orphan anymore. You are not an orphan anymore. You are not an orphan anymore. You are a child and a daughter of God, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Most holy God's son, his blood washed you clean. Not only the day that you were born again, you washed now forever. You got daughter, you got son. That is who you are now. You have been declared righteous. By who? By holy God. He said he's made you holy. That is who you are. So now, if you behave like an orphan, then you can look up into Father's face and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Father. What did I do? What did I think? That's not who I am. I'm your daughter. I'm your son. I don't have to behave like this. I'm stupid. That's not who I am. You know what I used to do? I used to cringe. And when I, you know, we feel, if we've acted a bit more godly, then we can come into God's presence again. No! That's a lie from the devil. You are now God's child. You have access to God 24/7. In fact, He lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're not a creation and then you're another creation and then you're back a new creation. Then you no, once and for all. You know when Jesus went, He took your and my sin upon Him. He became our sin. He became it. And then He went into hell. And when He came out, He said, Tetelestai. That means paid in full. It was done for you and for me. Can you get that in your mind tonight? Because it will change your life. Stop acting like an orphan. If you are a reborn child of God, you have the right to be called sons of God. That is who you are. And then the word says, we will be renewed. We will be We will be transformed How are we transformed? Because you know some people, when they get reborn, say for instance they're drug addicts, some people are immediately set free from addiction. Or some people are immediately set free from certain whatever behaviors. And then in other areas of their lives, they have to walk and find out what the word says and walk in relationship with God and speak to him. And then he reveals, he says he'll put it on our hearts. You don't have to follow a rule book anymore. But it says that we must be renewed, we must be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So that was also a problem I had. You know, you would read the word and read the word and read the word, and you can read the word. You know, we have the Holy Spirit to help us, but we need teaching. We really do need teaching. We need discipleship. That's the way Jesus did it. So for us to be, for our minds to be renewed with the truth, that is what is going to transform us. I didn't really understand that. But I want to tell you, the more you understand how God sees you, the more you understand that you are declared holy and righteous, no longer a slave, no longer an orphan. You now the king's son and daughter. That is how you renew your mind. Another story that I can tell you, you know, if you work, say for instance, your work is over here on a map, and you were living here. And every day you used to travel with a road to your work. And maybe after 10 years you bought a new house. Your house is now in this part of the city. So after 10 years living here, you used to travel back home every afternoon after work. So now you've got the new house. And you've gone to work, and then after work you go home again. Brrr. Oops. What am I doing? I'm on the wrong road. I must now live there. So, okay, let me take a shortcut back to that route. I'm taking this route home now. So I'm used to taking this route back home, but I no longer live here. So tomorrow, same story. From here, I go to work, and then later on, whoops, I don't live here anymore. I need to. Luckily, I remembered very quickly, so I went back, go back to that house again. And then, maybe tomorrow, I must remember, this is where I live. So I must travel from here there, because this is now my new house. I no longer live here. So a week later, or 2 weeks later, can you give me a lift? Yeah, sure, I can give you a lift. Oops, sorry, man. I actually can't give you a lift. I don't live there anymore. I live there. So this is the way I need to travel home. And that is how our mind is renewed. We forget. Or we don't know exactly what Jesus has done for us. So then we go back on the old way. But then be reminded, listen, that's not who you are. Why are you behaving like an orphan, man? Behave like God's son. That's who you are. You're now royalty. You don't need to behave like that. You don't need to grab food and be worried that you're not going to get it. There's more than enough. In fact, all the animals on the hills belong to me, says the Lord. So get your mind ready and get it back to what it's supposed to be. This is the way. This is the way. That's where you're going. That's where you're heading. And that's how our minds are renewed. With what? With the facts of what Jesus has done for us. And you know, when you do that, you start to see people through God's eyes. Because that's who you are now. And you know who you are. And you can understand that somebody that's really behaving stupid towards you, it's only because he doesn't know. because he thinks he's still an orphan. Maybe he's still an orphan. But then you have the knowledge why he's behaving like that. And then you can think what God did for him. And live accordingly. Live God's love out to him. You know what? The word salvation in Greek, actually, it comes from the word sozo, which means to heal, cure, to make well, to rescue from danger, to save, to cause something to change to an earlier, correct or appropriate state, to renew. That is what the word salvation means. All those things. Translated from the Greek. It doesn't mean saved and go to heaven. Not only that. The fact that we go to heaven is a result of our salvation. But we're supposed, the kingdom is here. We are part of the kingdom when we are here. The day you come to Christ, you enter the kingdom of God. Now sinners can't be in the kingdom of God. Because you're no longer a sinner. You are now a saint. That's what the word says. God made us to have fellowship with us. That's what we were created for. And our created value was distorted by sin that came into the world. And Jesus came to restore your created value so that you can now be again in relationship with him. And in the end, go to heaven. If you're going to live on this earth only thinking about heaven, you're going to battle all the way. But if you live in relationship and you hear God's voice, my sheep hear my voice and they follow it. You're going to struggle. You know when I hear people say, yes, but people struggling with pornography or whatever. Now I'm going to stop now. I've stood in front and I've prayed it and it's finished now. I'd say, good luck to you. Really, sometimes people get delivered instantaneously. But most people I know, the things they struggle with, they don't get delivered from like that. It's in relationship with God. Hearing his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. We have read earlier on, the Israelites couldn't make it. What makes us think that we can do it? God's people couldn't make it for hundreds of years. Hello? Why is it so important for us to understand Christ's love? We read in Ephesians 3:19 that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely infilled and flooded with God himself. That is why it's important that we understand what happened the day that we came to salvation. Because we must understand that we must get flooded, completely filled and flooded with God himself. That you may be filled. Not that you may be filled with some of the fullness of God. No, no, no. It says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know what that means? All the fullness means a house with no empty rooms. Completely full of cargo with no other space. It means it's fully occupied. It means that you have a no vacancy sign. Sorry, God lives here. It's flashing all over you, not for sale, complete, paid in full, fulfilled, lacking no good thing. And all of a sudden, I don't need you to say nice things to me to feel good. Why? Man, I've got God in me. I'm fulfilled, lacking nothing. And I don't get offended if you don't greet me in the street or maybe here if you're too busy. Why? Because I'm with the best of the best. And He's living in me, completely fulfilled. That is what happened the day you were reborn. That is what you have access to. So, when my mother-in-law or my husband or my enemy says something stupid to me, I really know it can only be because you don't know Him or you don't fully understand. You don't know who is inside of you. And then I don't take offense. Listen, the light of the world lives in you and me. The light of the world lives in you and me. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't become transformed by just reading and reading. Carry on thinking about yourself like you always did. Remind yourself what has happened. You'll find that here. And then if you go on the wrong road back home, hey, stop. Don't fall to pieces when you discover you're on the wrong road. Turn around. God, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking when I was going this way again. It's just out of habit. Hier gaat ek terug naar die huis toe waar ek nou is. It can happen. It can happen over and over. And then eventually, your mind is transformed by the facts of who you are and what has happened. Lastly, I just want to share a vision with you. Because one very important thing. What is the Afrikaans word for perverse? Pervers. You know what that means? Verwrongen. I want to say to you that if you think that because of this wonderful gospel, you can carry on in sin, you have a perverse idea of the gospel. That is really very serious. If you think you can carry on knowing what God did for you, if you think you can carry on to sin, we are perverting the gospel. Dis 'n verwronge idee van wat God almagtig vir jou gedoen het. So by no means, Paul says, what does he say exactly? What are the words? He says, shall we continue in sin? And then he says, not at all, for sure not. So that's no excuse to continue in sin. Then you don't understand what Christ did for you. But it's possible that you'll stumble in it because you're in the habit to go that way. Remember that. But then if it happens, get back onto the road as quickly as possible. Everything about the kingdom of God is held together by this one thing. That God sees you as if you have never sinned. So if God sees you as if you've never sinned, why would you ever see yourself for what you've done wrong? How about starting where He finished and run well? You're not a person trying to get it right. That's what I was doing. You've been made right. And now the Spirit of God is upon you, and you begin to walk this thing out that's come alive in your heart. It comes alive. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Word says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's righteousness. Did you work for it? No. Did you earn it? No. Did you pay for it? No. Who paid for it? For all of it. Before you were born. Before you were born, Jesus paid for it. While God knew what you did and He was going to do, really, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you and I now have right standing with God. You know, when the angels announced Jesus is coming, they said, I bring you good news, good tidings of great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. We're not trying to be happy. It is a wonderful occasion. It is something that we can be happy about. I had a vision that I want to share with you. I had a vision of myself standing on a rubbish dump, and I was standing. I saw myself from the top, and I was standing worshiping like this, and you know. And then it was actually this weekend when we went to a conference where Todd White was speaking. And during the worship, I had this vision at the beginning of the worship. And as the worship started, I lifted up my hands and I actually saw myself from the top standing. And it was a huge rubbish dump. And I was standing there worshiping like this. And I didn't understand. I thought, God, but my life has been restored. And I'm a child of God. What am I doing in the rubbish dump? And this morning during worship, God said to me, and the other thing that I must just say, I was standing there worshiping, not like this. I saw myself completely reaching out to God like this with both of my hands, almost like a chain going up. And God, I wasn't sure what this meant. And God said to me this morning that the world is this rubbish dump. And that I'm in the middle of this rubbish dump. And the world around me, their lives depend on me. And He is living in me. But I cannot... He cannot fully use me if I'm doing this. I must fully, but fully surrender to Him. Not halfway. So with this beautiful message that I bring you tonight of who you are and what Christ has done for you and what you have become, won't you fully, fully surrender your life to Him? We can't do it like that. Because then you're incorporating God into your life. Jesus, you know what Jesus did? Yeah, now can't we just fully give Him everything? So I want to ask you tonight. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Do you hear God's voice? Do you really hear God's voice? I want to say to you, if you don't hear God's voice, if you don't hear Him, if you're a reborn child of God and you don't hear His voice, with all your heart go to God and surrender and seek His face in the private place. That is where you will learn to hear God's voice. Go into the private place. That is where it all begins. You cannot say, yes, I talk to God every all day long. Go and spend time with God. Think of what Jesus did for you. Man, spend time with God and learn to hear His voice. You are His son and you are His daughter. We cannot live by incorporating Him into our lives. He's done everything for you. He's declared you holy. That is who you are. No longer a slave. You're a child of God. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, thank You, thank You that You have set us free. Thank You, Lord, that you didn't do half a job. That when You did it on the cross, You said, paid in full. And Lord, that the day we believe that and we understand that what You did actually restored the relationship, that You've restored our created value, that we cannot just incorporate You, Lord, but that the created value of being in a loving, wonderful relationship with You, where we can walk and talk, and if we fall, we can get up again, Lord. And we can turn our face towards You and say, Father, I'm sorry. That's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. Teach me. I want to go back on that other road, Lord, the new road. I want to learn to walk in this road because that is who I am. Father, may this really drop in our hearts tonight. That we will know that. That our minds will be renewed. That our lives will be transformed because of this wonderful message. Now I want to say tonight, Lord, if this is the first time that we've heard this message of salvation, Holy Spirit, I pray that You will just work in our hearts. Is anybody here who understood tonight for the first time Jesus did? Just raise your hand. Well, everybody's. Just raise your hand if you really, really want to fully take salvation, the salvation that Christ has given you. So that we can pray with You. Can we trust that everybody here knows You, Lord Jesus? I pray that this message will really drop into our hearts, Lord, like a bomb and explode so that we can live a new life in a relationship with You. Thank You, Father, that You are our Father, that You are our loving Father, that You love us, that You're slow to anger, that You're gracious. Faithful, faithful Father. Thank You that we are no longer slaves, that we are no longer orphans, but that we are children of the living God. That we are part of Your kingdom, and that we can live in that truth. We glorify You, Jesus, for what You've done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You for coming. Some lovely coffee. And yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. If there's anybody that needs prayer, please, we'd love to pray for you. So please come to the front and we'll pray for you. Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Have you ever seen the wonder As the eyes begin to open and the blindness meets the light. If you have so sick, I see the world in light.